Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee karup, guten tag, jawi viva katbang, half a day, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace how, go vegan, from the genetically mutated left coast of the unlabeled. Where am I? Should I start all over again? How can I forget this? Next month is like the 15th anniversary of the show. I have listeners who can do this better. So, we are from the left coast. From the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated, McNugget Pharmaceutical, Vivisection Prison, Kilitary Industrial Corporation in the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankster, bankrupt, corruptocracy, mockracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, foodborne in the USA, home of Uncle Sam Manella, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, I think. Just your friendly commentator documenting the destruction of planet Earth by means of consumption of so-called meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. What a responsibility this radio program has. What a responsibility vegans have. We are the only ones, apparently, who can save the world. Why, that makes this broadcast, a mild-mannered radio program syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network, live Sundays, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific time, disguised as a food show, actually, the most important broadcast in the history of planet Earth. What a responsibility. And vegans, then, therefore, are the most important people ever to walk on planet Earth, with their very diminished carbon footprint, I might add. We are the only ones who can save the world from disaster, from preventing the extinction of up to 5 million species by century's end. Maybe even Homo sapiens will go extinct. I know you're thinking, what a relief. At least people are safe, right? But the vegan Homo sapien. Who are you calling a Homo sapien? The only one who can save the world from climate change, apparently. We recognize this now even more so. It won't be our world leaders. I mean, did you see that group photo from the climate talks in Paris? About 150 world leaders gathered for a group photo. And you have to wonder how so many of them could take time off from bombing other countries and, you know, repression of their own citizens at one time. Like, who's manning the drones, you know? And the only one who seemed to be working the crowd, you know, high fives to everyone, was President Obama. And of course, no climate deal was reached, I bet he sold a lot of drones working his way through the crowd there, you know, like, oh, how many drones for you? 89, good. How many for you? 29 here? Okay, 29 drones. How many drones for you? Zero? You want zero drones? You want us to bomb your, 200? Okay, that's better. Okay, good. Why does the Secret Service let Obama high-five everyone? I mean, he doesn't know who washed his or her hands of the fecal matter on their burgers. So 150 world leaders in one place in Paris. Wait a second. 150 people I believe that constitutes a demonstration. Demonstrations are banned in France. Arrest all those world leaders immediately. And how many of them, if we investigate their backgrounds, how many of them just might themselves be guilty of bombing the innocent, you know, and taking innocent lives? Of course, like the group photo. And how many of those world leaders could you name? Huh? Could you? Yeah. How many of them did you recognize? Well, in America, how many countries could we recognize on a map, right? We are Americans. Maybe we can find America on the map. Anyway, like the group photo, the climate talks themselves, and the coverage of them are all a farce, a charade. Really? You know, I mean, whatever these politicians promise us, there's nothing binding, right? Except their diets, probably, their constipation. But whatever these politicians are promising is merely voluntary, you know, so nothing is required. So if nothing is required, nothing will be done. And if anything were required, don't worry, nothing would be done anyway. Except planet Earth will be kind of well done, I think, really well done, if we don't get down to the vegan solution and get to it fast. Unfortunately, the environmental movement is being totally misled by opportunist meat addicts. So they will never embrace truth and reality, truth justice, climate justice. Embrace climate justice, yes. Because really, every serving of meat, dairy, fish, and eggs is a plate of climate injustice when you come right down to it. But they're all meat addicts, so they'll never talk about the truth, embrace the truth, live the truth themselves. The world can burn in climate change hell because Bill McKibben's taste buds crave animal's flesh. So, and why is he on Democracy Now all the time? He and Naomi Klein, both associated with 350.org, which has been heavily influenced in the planet-destroying direction, by the way, by rancher donation money. You know, Fibbin Bill McKibben says we need more animal agriculture to address climate change. And he also says that, you know, we really don't have the right to deprive people in developing countries of the pleasure, of the enjoyment of eating meat. No, and we really shouldn't deprive them of the heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, all of those things that go along with it also. So, but how irresponsible of Democracy Now to put this climate clown on camera so much, I mean, or put him on at all at this point. I mean, he has no solution. I mean, you would think that in 2 weeks of coverage, well, 1 week of coverage has been completed from Paris by Democracy Now!, you'd think there would be at least one mention of the number one cause of climate change, which happens to be animal agriculture. Now, everybody seems to say fossil fuels, but really it's fossil foods. Why is there so much demand for fossil fuels? It is the fossil fuels. It meat, dairy, fish, and eggs, and the production and consumption responsible for at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. Not one mention of that. You think it would be important enough, right? It's like climate change. Hey, what causes it? Well, if something is at least 51%, that means that everything else combined don't add up to it. That makes it the number one cause. So, I mean, if you think miles per gallon are going to do it, forget it. You know, I mean, it's not an energy infrastructure that's the solution. We are told by the top climate specialists in the world that we need a population shift. 50 to 85% of people currently consuming so-called livestock products must go vegan by 2020. That's the only solution. There's no other solution. You know, capping carbon, you know, carbon trading among politicians and corporations. I mean, people may say stuff, and you know, you'll feel good about that. You know, you feel good about the victories. Hey, McDonald's is going to have cage-free eggs in 10 years. Wow, what a victory. Now we can feel good about that as well as we can feel good about capping carbon. Cage-free is terrible, by the way. So, but that's HSUS, the Humane Society of the United States, with a vice president, pig farmer, who had the farm he was running shut down a number of times for inhumane violations. Maybe we'll get back to that story a little later in the program also. But anyway, people in Paris, if you know, you're asking for alternative energy, right? That's the solution. Well, that would take 20 years and $35 trillion. I know sometimes it might be repetitive on this program when I mention these, but, you know, look at how much this is mentioned in all of the media, you know, the ABC and NBC, BS, Fox, sponsorship channel, whatever. But, I mean, look at John Kerry. You know, he's telling us that the violence in Syria, violence in Africa, are due to climate change. Climate change is due to, what's the number one cause of climate change? So, and it's true, this drought in Syria, drought in Africa, leads to violence. When people get hungry and desperate, they do things that you wouldn't expect them to do. And then, you know, what do we do with the land that's not underwater? You know, we're going to have rising sea levels, but, you know, we'll have some land left. Right now, 45% of land on Earth is dedicated to animal agriculture. But what have we been told? An acre of land can yield something like 20,000 pounds of potatoes and 165 pounds of beef. So, you know, how are we going to use the limited land we have, since the rest of it'll be underwater, huh? I mean, how are we going to share the world that we have left, right? Not compete, but cooperate. How do we do that? We go vegan. What? Go vegan? Rather go socialist, right? No, go vegan. It's the only solution. That's what the top climate specialists tell us. So that is, that's our motivation. We have to help everyone go vegan. Come to the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Register now at worldvegansummit.com. On Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. On Twitter at Go Vegan Radio. Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. A couple of extraneous Bob Linden pages there where you can pretty much be my friend many times. So let's see here. If you live in the Bay Area in Northern California, you happen to have a restaurant that's might as well get used to eating vegan to save the planet, right? And then you might as well realize, like, we have the best food. Isn't that amazing? Oh, what? We don't sacrifice anything by going vegan, right? And we don't sacrifice anyone by going vegan. But we really do have the best food. And one of the best restaurants, I think, in the world is Vegetarian House, which is 100% vegan, organic, and delicious. And you can go to vegetarianhouse.us and just check out the menu there. You'll see, you're not limited. We don't just eat iceberg lettuce, you know. You have the best food in the world. And Vegetarian House caters. You can, if you're in the Bay Area, you have an event coming up, a social event, professional event. You're getting married, and you want the food to be great and environmentally responsible. get in touch with Vegetarian House. The website is vegetarianhouse.us. We demand climate justice. We will have, I'm going to play in a few minutes a talk by James Hansen, who's a NASA scientist who's up on the climate issues, and I think does a pretty good explanation of it. We're very serious about climate change here. We would like to save the 5 million species who are threatened if we don't go vegan. You know, this kind of reminds me of the Martin Luther King quote that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the injustice to animals. Just, you know, it's hard to believe. I thought this was a quiet personal decision that I was making years ago. I'd sit in a corner and eat a salad or something, you know, and didn't realize that, you know, really everything that's wrong with the world comes from the injustice of consuming animals and their secretions, meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. So the injustice to animals has led us to climate injustice. It's the number one cause. Right? And health injustice, and hunger injustice, and poverty injustice, and slavery injustice. It's really quite amazing. And there's no justice in any animal products. There, you know, by being a, you know, an animal product consuming vegetarian, just look at, well, maybe you shouldn't look at it. It seems like people... Almost sounds like I pulled an Anthony Weiner and I hit a send button on an undercover dairy investigation in New Zealand, but apparently I thought it was linking to a TV station that documented this, you know, life on the dairy farm in New Zealand. Wouldn't that be perfect for cows, right? New Zealand, you know, sunny, open fields and whatever. And, you know... It just can't be done right. It just cannot be done right. I mean, even the vice president of the Humane Society of the United States can't get it right. Right? The farm that he was running was shut down repeatedly for inhumane violations. So that's the Humane Society of the United States Vice President Joe Maxwell, and his farm was shut down for not being so humane. I guess I'll warn you that next hour I may sing. So this is a warning, like, get your earplugs, you know. I may be singing Old Joe Maxwell Had a Farm next hour. I'm trying to talk myself out of it. I'm trying to think, like, well, would you please develop your cage fright, your stage fright? And cage fright, by the way, on this program. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll practice a few times. Maybe you'll want to sing along with me, you know, on today's live version, or the program will be archived. So, into eternity, we will be singing Old Joe Maxwell Had a Farm. I may subject this to you next hour if I don't talk myself out of it, and it, you know, makes me nervous to sing in public. We'll continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. At GoVeganRadio.com, you can support the program with a tax-deductible donation by clicking Donate at GoVeganRadio.com. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. On Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. You can register now for the World Vegan Summit and Expo at WorldVeganSummit.com. What did I mean when I said that I did an Anthony Weiner? Maybe I didn't fully explain prior to the break, but, you know, that's when you send or post or publish something. Maybe that you hadn't intended. I thought I was sending a link to an expose from a TV station in New Zealand. Apparently, it was a link to an organization in New Zealand held in the disfavor of the abolitionist community. And I think Professor Francione has heard about what's going on, you know, with my post, and we'll discuss it next hour on the show. Right now, I do want to hear from James Hansen, who is the NASA scientist, and, you know, we take climate change very seriously here at Go Vegan Radio. In fact, more seriously than everyone. The Paris talks, it doesn't matter. Democracy Now!, progressives, you know, environmentalists, it doesn't matter. This is the most serious, medium related to climate change, because we recognize the number one cause and we recognize the only solution. And James Hansen, as a NASA scientist, understands climate change, but, you know, even he kind of gets it wrong related to solutions. Unfortunately, he's for nuclear, and also for a carbon fee that would then be collected and then distributed to all the citizens. And good luck working with the politicians on a carbon fee. But he recently gave a talk. Of course, it's at the Canadian Nuclear Association, or Canadian Nuclear Association, sorry, trying. I think it's important that we listen to this talk, because it does give us a good perspective on what climate change is. He also agrees that the number one thing that we can do is a dietary change, although I don't know that he's done it for himself. But let's listen to James Hansen really explain climate change to us, and we'll do that now on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden.
This is the maps are showing last month, the last 3 months, and the last 12 months, and the eastern half of North America has been very cold. The rest of the world keeps getting warmer. On global average, this year, 2015, is going to easily be the warmest year in history of instrumental measurements, because the planet really is getting warmer. But we just happen to have been on a cool spot. I guess this moves it. And we know that it's going to keep getting warmer. How do we know that? Because the planet is out of energy balance. There's more energy coming in from the sun than there is heat being radiated to space, because of the increasing carbon dioxide, which blocks the heat. And we can now measure the planet's energy balance quite accurately, because the atmosphere is very thin. So where does that excess energy go? It goes into the ocean, about 90% of it. And we can now measure the heat content of the ocean, because there we have these Argo floats distributed around the ocean, which dive down into the ocean, measure the temperature, and then come back to the surface and radio the measurements to a satellite. And what we find is that the heat content of the ocean is going up at a rate of about at least 6/10 of a watt per meter squared, which doesn't sound like much, but it's equal to the exploding 400,000 Hiroshima atomic bombs every day. That much energy is going into the ocean. Or if you don't like that, it's as if every person of the 7+ billion people, if every one of them had 44 hair dryers, 1,000 watt hair dryers, and ran them 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, that's how much energy we're putting into the ocean. And that is going to have consequences. So we know that each decade has been getting warmer, and this decade is going to be warmer than the last one, because the planet is out of energy balance. It's going to keep getting warmer as long as it's out of balance. So the situation is that we actually have an emergency, and yet we're not acting as though we understand that. there's a real danger that we're going to hand young people a situation that's out of their control with enormous consequences. We're going to have to phase down and phase out carbon emissions quite rapidly. And actually, that's possible. And it actually makes economic sense to do that. But such a solution is not being pursued, and in fact, it's not even being proposed by any political party. Let me just say a few words about some of the consequences. One of the things that we're doing is putting many species under stresses in a number of ways, but climate change, as the climate zones shift more and more, that becomes a dominant stress, because people are taking over the planet and they're making it harder for species to try to migrate to stay within a zone in which they could survive. I don't have time to give my usual discussion. We'll use the monarch butterfly as an example of a species where the stress we're putting on in is herbicides that kill milkweeds, which is the only thing that the caterpillars can eat. But then the climate impact in Mexico, where the butterflies hibernate for the winter, is an added stress. The bottom line with regard to species is that if we stay on the path that we're on, by the end of this century, we will have probably committed 25 to 50% of the species on the planet to extinction. And obviously, there's no coming back from that. That's an irreversible effect. The other thing that is irreversible on any timescale that humans would care about is sea level and the ice sheet disintegration. If we allow ice sheets to disintegrate, it takes thousands of years to build an ice sheet from snowfall piling up. So that would be an irreversible effect. The rates at which sea level is going up is increasing. It's still small. It's 3.2 millimeters a year. So that's 32 centimeters in a century, which is a little more than a nuisance. But the real danger is that we'll stay on this path and this curve will continue to go up. And in fact, if we look, we have these satellites measuring the gravitational field of the Earth. They do it so precisely that we can see how the mass of the Greenland ice sheet and the Antarctic ice sheet is changing. And both of them are losing mass now at rates that are accelerating. And we get some guidance from the Earth's history. The last time it was warmer than it is today was during the Eemian period, 120,000 years ago, when it was about 1.5 degrees Celsius warmer than pre-industrial time. Well, we've warmed up now 0.8 degrees, so we're within less than 1 degree of the Eemian temperature. And at that time, sea level was probably 6 to 8 meters higher than it is now. That would mean all coastal cities would become dysfunctional, with economic consequences that are incalculable. So we really can't go to that degree of global warming if we want to avoid that. There are places like Bangladesh which would be lost entirely, and 350 million people in China are living at an elevation not much above sea level. So it's really something we have to avoid. A paper that we published a year ago I think, made the story. I have many of the best scientists in the world as co-authors on this, and we argue that the IPCC, the goal of keeping warming less than 2 degrees Celsius is actually not adequate. What the bottom line of that paper is that we cannot burn all of the fossil fuels. So far, we've burned only the purple parts of the conventional oil, gas,
okay,
and coal.
James Hansen speaking at the Canadian Nuclear Association, giving us a grand overview of where we are related to climate change. 2015 stands to be the warmest year on record, and we are setting 25 to 50% of species on Earth toward extinction, thanks to our diet of species extinction, as far as I'm concerned. Here's James Hansen again, speaking to Supreme Master Television.
There are many things that people can do to reduce their carbon emissions, but changing your light bulb and many of the things are much less effective than changing your diet. Because if you eat further down on the food chain, rather than animals which have produced many greenhouse gases and used much energy in the process of growing that meat.
Well, you know, so the, you know, if you don't want to go go vegan for the 25 to 50% of species who could go extinct, and we're told there could be, you know, 10 million species on the planet right now, so that's only 5 million species going extinct. Maybe you want to do it for the 350 million people in China. Huh? Let's go vegan for them. Let's go vegan. Let's just go vegan and save the planet. You know, it's like the best thing. Food's great. Join us. Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. On Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook, GoVeganRadio with Bob Linden. And there are Bob Linden pages on Facebook to make sure I do everything in triplicate. And there's the World Vegan Summit. We will have a climate crisis forum at the World Vegan Summit and Expo coming up July 29th, 30th, and 31st on the campus of the University of California in Berkeley. And we will also have a water and drought crisis forum. We're meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. Consumption of meat, dairy, fish, and eggs, consumption and production are the most devastating environmental forces, the most destructive environmental forces. And when you look at deforestation and water usage and water depletion, this show is like kind of more valuable than wasting jet fuel going to Paris and, you know, having fondue. In fact, if you go to the archives and listen to the shows that we did recently with Todd Schumann, I mean, it's pretty amazing the environmental effects just 5 counties in California, just how wasteful the dairy industry is. And there's the production of methane, which has been estimated to be anywhere from 20 to 100 times worse than CO2 in the equations related to greenhouse gas emissions, depending upon over what time period you measure. So, you want climate justice, you go vegan. And so, that means
no dairy also, and, you know, I did send around that that link to horrors that, you know, happen everywhere, in all of animal agriculture. Factory farms, family farms, you know, whatever you want to call them. I mean, they're just, they're all killing farms. And including dairy, which is, it's just so sad. And, you know, and everybody's so hooked on cheese. I remember reading in the PCRM website that there's a scientific reason, you know, that people get so hooked on cheese. And there are mild opiates called casomorphins when you eat cheese that just, you know, can't give up my cheese. Even if it means saving the world from climate change. Americans eat more than 33 pounds of cheese per person per year, which is more than, three times more than they did in 1970. Everything's covered with cheese. Your cheese is covered with cheese. And there's an obesity epidemic looking here. With this posting at PCRM. Cheese is a high-calorie product loaded with fat, sodium, and cholesterol. Typical cheeses are 70% fat, and the type of fat they contain is mainly saturated or bad fat, which increases your risk of heart disease and diabetes. Cheese is the number one source of saturated fat in the American diet, you know, they always tell you, you gotta decrease that saturated fat intake, you know. So, let's see, 1/4 of an average 12-inch cheese pizza contains nearly 13 grams of fat, including 6 grams of saturated fat and 27 milligrams of cholesterol. You know, that's not the same as saturated fat. You know, that's that waxy substance. An ounce of cheddar contains 9 grams of fat, including 6 grams of saturated fat. Part skim versions of cheese aren't much better with the slightly lower amounts of fat. And the dairy protein has been identified as the number one carcinogen to which Americans are exposed. So let's have some health justice and go vegan also. We will continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Welcome to the second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. We are live Sundays, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Time, syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network. You can also go to goveganradio.com and click Listen Live, where the program is archived, where you can find a button that says Donate, and you can support the efforts of this program and our organizing of the World Vegan Summit and Expo coming up in July in Berkeley. We are dedicated to a vegan movement. We are dedicated to helping everyone go vegan, whether you want to or not. But we prefer you want to, okay? We are creating this vegan movement, and you know, there are these distractions. Normally, the people who should be into a vegan movement and animal advocacy have been so distracted by, I don't know if you can call it an animal rights movement. It's so hard to make quotation marks in the air with your fingers on radio. But there's this animal rights movement that's really been a partner with animal exploitation industries. And so people are so confused, and then they wind up you know, supporting these groups like the Humane Society of the United States, which I guess is supposed to be humane, if that's in its name. But it has a vice president, Joe Maxwell, and apparently, and he's been a pig farmer, has a pig farm, kills 50,000 pigs a year. Sounds like the perfect leader of an animal rights movement to me. But he kills them humanely. Oh, now it's okay. All right. Except for the fact that his farm has been shut down a number of times for humane violations, inhumane slaughter, inhumane treatment. But what can we expect more from the Humane Society of the United States? No. It has, you know, 11 million members. Everybody loves it, right? Wayne Pacelli, Paul Shapiro, everybody celebrating that McDonald's is going to have cage-free eggs in 10 years. So, you know, it's great. We can look forward to that torture a decade from now. Well, today's torture continues. Anyway, I thought it was fascinating that the vice president pig farmer of HSUS would have his farm shut down for humane violations. This documented on a website, I probably would not agree with 99% of its perspective, but when it comes to disrespecting HSUS, we have that in common from the HumaneWatch.org website talking about Joe Maxwell. And it says that the Animal Welfare Institute included Heritage Acres Foods, which was Joe Maxwell's farm, on a list of slaughter plants with repeated suspensions for humane violations. Then it says here, I'm quoting, and it seems these operations couldn't resist a little pork from the government. Ozark Mountain Pork Co-op, which was part of this conglomerate with Joe Maxwell, received $553,500 in 2002 and 2003 from the USDA, while records show that Heritage Acres received $74,000 in 2006 for market research. We go down a paragraph, and, you know, again, it mentions these suspensions by the USDA, et cetera. Then it says, and that's not all. U.S. bankruptcy court records show that Maxwell's Heritage Acres was in quite a pickle recently. A number of creditors of Heritage Acres filed an involuntary petition for bankruptcy against the company in December 2010, seeking $552,000 plus in debts. Subsequent court records showed Heritage Acres with a $1.4 million in liabilities and just $73,000 in change in assets. Further records indicate that Maxwell was CEO of Heritage Acres until December 2009, and most of the liabilities were incurred in 2009. This timeline would also appear to indicate that the inhumane slaughter / treatment violations at Heritage Acres occurred under Maxwell's watch. And the conjecture here from this website is that it says maybe running a farm the way HSUS says it prefers isn't all that sustainable financially. And maybe that's why Maxwell is willing to shill for this organization and take a vice president level salary, which at the Humane Society of the United States is quite significant. These are the one percenters there at HSUS. And so what's amazing, though, is that even the vice president of the Humane Society of the United States can't get it right. Huh? It's like, do as we say, not as we do, because there really is no way to do it. So, again, please give up on this fake animal rights movement. It's so ridiculous, you know? I mean, HSUS speaking every year at farms, so-called animal rights conference. But all of this, I mean, you know, it just inspires me to poetry and to song, to music. And maybe you'd like to join me in a rendition of Old Joe Maxwell Had a Farm. Okay? So we can go over this a few times, sing it together. You know, let's do it on the live program here. You can sing along with it on the archives as much as you want. So follow me. And here we go. I have to get over stage fright. Okay, like pretend I'm on America's Got Talent and Howard Stern. Okay. All right. And a one, and a two, and a... Old Joe Maxwell had a farm sanctuary, HSUSO, and on that farm, USA, he had some pigs. Stab them, Joe. With a shutdown here, a USDA suspension there, slaughter and treatment, violations everywhere. Old Joe Maxwell had a farm, animal rights movement. Humane, no. Put your earplugs in. I want to do it again. I have to entertain myself sometimes on this show. I'm sorry. Look, I hear radios clicking all over. You know, turn on the classic rock. Here we go again. Sing it with me, okay? Old Joe Maxwell had a farm sanctuary, HSUSO, and on that farm, USA, he had some pigs. Stab them, Joe, with a shutdown here, a USDA suspension there, slaughter and treatment, violations everywhere. Old Joe Maxwell had a farm, animal rights movement, humane, no. Okay, apparently I'm someone willing to embarrass myself in public, I'm embarrassed to say. So, that being the story related to Joe Maxwell and HSUS, which of course now is, it's that time of year when everybody is asking for your donations, and you know, last year HSUS had to give, what was it, close to $25 million to Ringling Brothers, right, for racketeering. So, you know, we need to, replenish the bank account over at HSUS. It's quite amazing, don't you think? So, pig farmer, a number of violations, and, it's totally incredible. Totally incredible that this would be the case. So, alrighty. Let me see. I wanted to get back to that. I think I would rather talk about cheese. Let me see if I can talk to yourself for a second. I think I have to... do the computer thing here, and I have so many things are opened here that I have to just look through them for a second. Let me see here. What do we got? So, anyway, I was talking to there was somebody on Twitter who was really kind of upset with me. Because I questioned her parenting. Now, remember that the World Health Organization, not that long ago, said that, you know, like processed meats causes cancer. You know, that's a big thing for the WHO to say. So, you know, as related to generations, I mean, my mother would never have fed me anything that she knew would cause cancer. We learn things as generations come and go. You know, what our mother might not have known, we know today. So, you know, in looking at what might be responsible parenting, we have to look at this and look at animal products being associated with, you know, heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, you know? So, I started this discussion with her, I think, on Twitter, and it was about cheese, and I said I was going to follow up with it on the show. So anyway, as I mentioned, we were, you know, I was looking at this expose from the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine on cheese, and which says it's, you know, the number one source of saturated fat, you know, the bad fat in the America, you know, and cheese can be upwards of 70% fat, and ounce for ounce has more cholesterol than steak and more salt than tortilla chips. And, you know, so, but it says, consider what happens when you're eating these fatty foods, the cheese. So consider that immediately after, oh, okay, apparently a break is coming. So we will consider it after the break. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. Please register now for the World Vegan Summit and Expo next July in Berkeley at WorldVeganSummit.com. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and you can register now for the World Vegan Summit and Expo at WorldVeganSummit.com. In just a few minutes, we will be joined by Professor Gary Francione for commentary. We will talk about the link that I distributed. Kind of Anthony Weiner style, except no, nothing like that. Just let's see, there some people are upset that it, about the group to whom it links. I thought I was linking to a TV expose, but we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Right now, just wanted to finish talking a little bit about cheese, dairy. And, you know, when you think about it, all dairy is produced. Remember, always, all dairy is produced by starting with rape. Female has to be raped to produce the baby who will be kidnapped. What misery, the sadness when the baby is taken away to become veal or fattened up for beef. And then she's impregnated again to go through this whole process. So everybody can just, you know, clot their arteries. Going along here, so when you're eating fatty foods like cheese, what happens? Well, your triglyceride levels rise. Triglycerides, the fats from foods that are carried in the blood. So, you know, you eat those fatty foods, as you might expect, your blood levels get fattier, your triglyceride levels rise, your cholesterol levels rise, contributing to plaque formation. Cholesterol is what? It's a waxy substance made by the liver, and, you know, you get a cholesterol, you know, from eating animal products. You don't get that bad cholesterol from any of the vegan foods, fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, seeds, beans. Just from eating animals and their secretions and excretions. Clotting factors in your blood are activated when you're eating those fatty foods. 2 hours later, your triglycerides have increased by 60%. Your blood flow has decreased by half. Wow, this is, yeah. Extra cheese, you know, so extra... extra less blood flow, please. 3 hours later, the lining of your arteries has lost elasticity, impeding blood flow. And then blood vessel function has become abnormal. What is this from doing? Yeah, this is from eating
saturated fats. This is from eating cheese. And how many times a day do you eat cheese? Huh? It's pretty amazing, right? So, yeah, 3 hours later, lining of your arteries has lost elasticity, impeding blood flow, blood vessel function has become abnormal. Then 4 and 5 hours later, your blood has gotten thicker, flowing even slower than it was 2 hours ago. Your triglyceride levels have now increased by 150%. So, responsible parenting? Responsible parenting or not? This is cheese. This is cheese, dairy, remember, the number one carcinogen to which Americans are exposed. And then on Twitter, when I mention things like this, it's like, how dare you insult my parenting? You know, how dare you? So, I don't know. I'm sure my mother would have liked hearing about that. I don't think she was so happy that her husband died at age 47 from a heart attack. Look at how it impedes blood flow, huh? Impeded blood flow to the heart. So, you know, we have heart attacks, impeded blood flow to the brain, and stroke. And how dare I insult somebody's parenting by suggesting that we move away from these poisons. Anyway. So, we are having the World Vegan Summit and Expo, and it will be cheese-free and cage-free, just a bunch of free-ranging humans getting together to figure out how to help everybody go vegan, stop poisoning the kids and the environment. Anyway, tis the season to donate. If you'd like to give to a vegan cause, how about Go Vegan Radio? There's a donate button at goveganradio.com. With Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. On Twitter at goveganradio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. There are extraneous Bob Linden pages on Facebook. And also, we invite you to go to worldvegansummit.com and register for the World Vegan Summit and Expo next July in Berkeley. Professor Gary Francione will be there, and he's here every week at this time with commentary. I think he's getting complaints about me today. More complaints than normal. I think that's you've been getting.
That's right. That's right. Actually, Bob, I got several about your posting something from this evil organization in New Zealand called SAFE, which I have described to you as the Mercy for Animals of New Zealand. Think
yes.
of how horrible that is for the people of New Zealand, and you're promoting that stuff, Bob. And I'm glad that you called today to explain that it was just a mistake on your part.
Well, I feel like it's, you know, like Anthony Weiner, like when he, you know, you hit send or post or publish or something. I thought it was to a TV show expose, and it turned out to be to this group. I'd never heard of this group in New Zealand. I had no idea there were groups. You know, like a week or two ago, I had Sandra Higgins on from Ireland, and she said, there are no groups here promoting, like, the humane treatment, happy meat, and all of that. So what did I know about New Zealand, you know? And I thought it was a TV show that I, you know, was linking to. And then it turns out to be this group and the complaint. So, and I did look at the group's page, and it's that go veg thing, you know? I mean, it's like, how do you have a dairy expose and tell people to go veg when there's just that what does that mean? There's that confusion when veg, people think it's like, okay, eat dairy, you know? I mean, what can I say?
Well, Yeah, as I say, it's the Mercy for Animals of New Zealand. It's a really controversial organization. Well, not a controversial. It's a welfareist organization. I had some exchanges with them a couple of years ago, and it was as all exchanges with such groups go. I mean, just really unsatisfying. But I think, Bob, that it would be a good idea if you just took that down, so that we wouldn't have to worry about your bodily safety as you're gambling about California.
Okay. You know, all the pacifist abolitionists will be upset with me.
So. Well, you know, not all of them are Abar. Not all of them are pacifists. Anna Charlton is with me tonight, and we wanted to talk about something that we both feel very strongly about, and that is, at this holiday season, you know, look, it's a good thing to do any time of the year, not just in the holiday season, but you know, everyone is trying to sort of, we're all being flooded with requests for support by these worthless welfareist organizations. You know, I mean, I got a solicitation from Faunalytics, which is that organization that does that bogus, quote, research, end quote, showing that if you really want people to go vegan, you should talk with them about anything but being vegan. And, you know, they have research which shows this to be the case, which is nonsense, obviously. But they've been sending out an email saying that Animal Charity Evaluators, another silly organization that promotes mercy for animals and the Humane League and vegan outreach, and says that they're effective. Yes, they're effective because they say they're effective. They use criteria that basically assures that they are found to be effective. I mean, as Dr. Casey Taft of Boston University said, garbage in, garbage out. And so Animal Charity Evaluators, garbage in, garbage out, has said that Faunalytics, garbage in, garbage out, is a great charity. And, you know, so now everyone's getting hit with requests, give us money, give us money, give us money. So, I mean, you're better off throwing the money down the toilet. At least you've got a chance that the money might help unclog some of your pipes. But there's something you can do at this time of the year, and that is adopt or foster. And if you can't adopt or you can't foster, commit to spend time at a shelter, working with dogs, socializing them to make sure that they can get adopted. The best thing that you can do at the holiday season or any time of the year is give somebody a home. So if you've got excess money and you want to do something with it, why don't you finance your own adoption or fostering of a dog, a cat, any animal of any species? I don't care what the animal is. I don't care what the species is. Help a non-human refugee.
I think another thing that's very useful, because not everyone is in a circumstance where they can take in another animal for landlord reasons, or perhaps they're in college or something like that, is if you've adopted or fostered and helped at shelters in the past, you've accumulated a lot of knowledge that can be really helpful to other people who adopt an animal. I'm always surprised that a lot of people don't have a clue what to do with an animal that they've adopted. Basic things like house training, setting up your house to deal with a newcomer, introducing a newcomer to the animals that you have right now. Apparently, it's not intuitive. A lot of shelters are doing a good job of giving instructions, some of handing out DVDs of basic, you know, animal getting them acclimatized to their new homes with you, but some are not in that circumstance. Some people don't have those resources given to them. So even if you can't take an animal in or add another one to your home, that's such a helpful act to really help somebody. You're helping the human and the animal. So many read the descriptions of animals that end up in shelters. Young, healthy, attractive animals, can't get them house trained, chew on new shoes, this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You can't pick up a cute little dog on the Saturday and Monday go to work and leave him or her for 8 hours with your closet doors open. I sometimes feel that people haven't got the sense they were born with, but it's that people were not told how to help an animal fit into their life.
Mm-hmm. As I'm giving a tummy rub to Daisy right now.
Yes, indeed. And you know, we have six non-human refugees with whom we share our house. And four of them were real abuse cases. One, our retriever, was just an animal that was not, overtly or explicitly abused, but never had a home, just went from one place to another place to another place to another place, and ended up being 9 or 10 years old and had never had a permanent home. So we were his first permanent home, and he's 10 years old. And then we have one dog from a rescue who was born in rescue. It was a pregnant dog rescue, and she was born in rescue to her mother, who had basically just been rescued by this organization. But the other four dogs are abuse cases, and some of them have had some very serious abuse. There is nothing that we find more satisfying, other than being on your show, there is nothing that we find more satisfying than taking a dog who's a complete mess, who has had a really horrible experience, and making that dog feel just wonderful, and watching how the dog comes out of his or her shell and blossoms. I'm looking at two right now who are here in the office. Little Duncan, who was found with his muzzle taped. His face was cut in two because the tape had been on for a couple of weeks. He was almost dead. He weighed nothing because he was unable to eat. His face was cut in half. They had to sew his face back together again. And, you know, with some love and kindness and caring, he's blossomed into the most wonderful dog you can possibly imagine. He doesn't show any, it's as if it never happened. He's just loving being here every minute, and he just has a grand time, and he's a very happy and happy-go-lucky dog. And with him is his sister Maggie, who was hit by an automobile, and her leg was broken, and it didn't heal properly, and so she has a very, very thickened bone in one of her legs. But she's doing fine, and she's just really blossomed, and it's just so wonderful. You know, these are the rejects. These are the animals that nobody. These are the animals that ended up in a kill shelter, and that nobody wanted to take from the kill shelter. And it's just so wonderful to see how they become these wonderful non-human persons, and how they overcome what they've been through. And we have another. We've just got a dog recently who was used as a breeding dog for 9 years. Nobody ever touched this dog. This dog was in a kennel and was used only to breed. And no humans ever had any contact with this dog, and he's almost feral. I mean, he's a very, you know, and he's coming around. He's probably one of the more challenging dogs we've dealt with, but, you know, he's coming around, but he's still difficult, and he's 9 or 10 years old, and he's never been touched by humans, except in probably rough ways, but he seems not to have really any experience of being touched by humans, and so it's so wonderful to see these little wrecks stop being wrecks and blossom, and it's for me and Anna, it's a real win-win situation. It's great for them, but it's also great for us. It is just terrific to watch this and to feel that you're a part of it.
Happy little vegans.
Yeah, they're all happy. They're all happy vegans. They eat Evolution dog food. They have Evolution now has a new dog food out, Bob. I didn't know. They now have a non-grain, a gluten-free GMO line. And
GMO-free, I'm sure. No, non-GMO. We're not selling. Yeah, hey, get the new GMO from Evolution.
Right, exactly. Non-GMO, non-gluten. And it's something Eric has just formulated fairly recently over at Evolution. So we tried a 40-pound bag, and we have six of them, and they went through that pretty quickly. Yeah. And we're now on our
Daisy loves the she eats the cans of Evolution. She really likes them, too.
Yeah, that stuff is great. So. It's great. Terrific.
Yeah, yeah. Hang on. We have to take a break. We will continue with Professor Gary Francione and Professor Anna Charlton on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. GoVeganRadio.com. On Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook, GoVeganRadio with Bob Linden, Bob Linden pages on Facebook, and WorldVeganSummit.com, where you can register for our wonderful World Vegan Summit and Expo next July 29th, 30th, 31st in Berkeley. You see campus there. Talking to Professor Gary Francione and Professor Anna Charlton about rescue and all. You're very fortunate. I think maybe the audience is back now. I sang earlier. I sang Old Joe Maxwell Had a Farm earlier in the show. And Ben said it was all right. Ben, our studio engineer, but I don't know. Ben went vegan from listening to this show, so I don't know. It's like... But I think that sometimes people make the mistake that they're supporting local shelters by supporting the Humane Society of the United States, which I think was brilliant marketing, but I think a lot of people...
Very important point, Bob, because I'm seeing every 2 minutes on the, and that's not much of an exaggeration, on the news channels, the ads for the ASPCA, which does have some shelter component to it, but the... And also the Humane Society, which has almost no shelter component.
Well, they don't have any, do they?
Well, I think they may have some support from shelters, so I don't want to say they have no involvement with shelters, but it's certainly not what is portrayed.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're absolutely right on that. And there are local rescues, and I know that some shelters have bad reputations, but there are also a lot of good people working in shelters, working very hard, in dreadful circumstances, to try and make things better.
So it support the local shelters,
absolutely.
not
what's going on. Help, you know, they're just criticized. Help if there's a situation, and support their activity, their efforts to get dogs and cats in good homes. I think it's great when people who have a good camera and a bit of time go and take pictures that capture the personality and the attractiveness of an animal, rather than just some input, you know, intake picture that doesn't really tug on the heartstrings in the way that a good character photograph can. That's tremendously important.
And it's not just dogs and cats. Shelters have lots of animals.
Yep.
They get guinea pigs and rats and
rabbits,
fish and rabbits and stuff. These are all creatures that need homes. And you know, so if you can't afford or you don't have space for a dog or a cat, well, you know, you can help a hamster or a gerbil or a guinea pig or a fish or, you know, I mean, or there are all sorts of animals that need homes. And so, you know, just give a home to anybody that you can. And you know, as I say, if you can't keep animals, you can foster them maybe. You know, and I think fostering is really one of the best things you can do. I don't really have the, I'm not strong enough to do fostering. Once they come to my house, they stay forever.
Right. That's a tough one. Yeah.
And I think, you know, the people who do fostering are just tremendous people. They're wonderful people because they're doing something that I think is really, really difficult to do, you know, to take care of somebody and have them be a member of your family and then say goodbye to them. And you know, and it's you know, it's really rough. And I have a lot of respect for those people.
I lived at a dog sanctuary for a while near Lancaster in California. And whenever someone got adopted, I cried. You know, and it's like, what am I crying for? They're going to a home. You know, but it's like
they're your family members, and you're saying goodbye to them. And you know, you never really know how it's going to work out for them. And so there's always that lack of certainty, but. look, this holiday season, don't waste your money. Don't give money to these large multi-billion-dollar organizations that are just wasting the money anyway and promoting the wrong message. You know, get to know your local shelter. Work with your local shelter. If you find, you know, there are always people who need help with their veterinary bills because they've lost their house or they, you know, there's all sorts of sad stories. Use the money wisely. If you've got extra money, help people with veterinary bills that they can't afford to pay so they can keep their animals. Or make
there are homeless people with animals who need food.
Exactly. So. Foster an animal of somebody who's lost their house until they get back on their feet. Those are things you can do to make a real difference this holiday season, because if you give money to these large organizations, you're just throwing it away. It's a waste.
Well, you know? Now, there is a donate button at goveganradio.com, so instead of flushing it down the toilet to clean your pipes, if you have to give it to a vegan cause.
Absolutely. All right, Bob, we'll see you next week, and everybody, sign up for the World Vegan Summit. We're going to have a grand time.
Okay, worldvegansummit.com. Talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.